this interview that we've got going on here is with Christopher Brooks. Christopher Brooks is the senior pastor of Evangel Ministries, a thriving 1,600-member church in the heart of Detroit. He's also the daily host of Equipped for Life, aired daily on the Salem Network, 1500 AM. He was appointed the campus dean of Moody Theological Seminary's Michigan campus in September of 2013. This is actually the first, I know Christopher Brooks, this is the first time I'm actually reading your bio, so I'm finding out all sorts of fun stuff as I'm reading it here. After graduating from Michigan State University, go green, with a BA in finance, Christopher began his theological training at Michigan Theological Seminary, now Moody Theological Seminary. He's completed his MA in Christian Apologetics at Biola University and is also a graduate of the Oxford Center of Christian Apologetics. Okay, I did not know that either. So that's a really cool. Christopher, thank you so much for taking time to be with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's exciting to be here.
So you have written a book called Urban Apologetics.
Yes.
I've read the book. I picked it up. You don't know this about me, but I live all the way downtown. I live as far downtown as you can go without going to Canada.
Okay.
Right? I can see Canada out of my window. And I grew up, I was first exposed to More Than a Carpenter.
Yeah.
And then I got the longer book, Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter, and then Evidence Demands a Verdict. And so I'm reading this stuff, and this all just makes sense. Mm. This is just kind of the way my mind works. And now that I'm in the city, I find that people have, or in an urban context, I find that people have the same questions, but they're being framed differently.
Yes.
And with the proliferation of social media and things like that, the questions are being framed differently. So, talk a little bit about urban apologetics. When you say urban apologetics, what do you mean by that?
So most people understand apologetics as a defense of the Christian faith. I like to give a more layman's definition of apologetics, and that is answering the questions that critics have about the gospel. But here's the deal. Cal, we don't want to just answer questions rightly. We want to answer the right questions. So a lot of times the mistake that's made because of a lack of historical context is that there's great apologists that are out here defending the Christian faith, but because they didn't grow up in the hood, if you will, mm-hmm. they're not answering the questions of the urban inner city person.
Okay.
And so urban apologetics really is just contextualization. It is a method of contextualizing this enterprise of answering the questions of critics of the gospel by looking at what questions are being asked in an urban context.
Okay, so give an example, because people who are born and raised in the suburbs, born and raised in rural America, might have certain types of questions. They're soccer moms going to get their Starbucks, things like that. But downtown, you got a totally different type of vibe. In the hood, you got a totally different type of vibe. What are some of the questions, or what are the ways those questions are being asked?
I'll just give two examples. One example is very clear. It's all over our news every night, and that's the issue of social justice,
okay,
equality, economic justice, educational justice. These aren't questions that are being asked in rural America. Oftentimes, they're not being asked in majority culture. These are uniquely ethnic minority questions and challenges. And what the Christian church has to be able to say is that the gospel answers the issue of injustice. As a matter of fact, this issue of injustice is epitomized, the solution is epitomized in the cross of Christ. Because it's at the cross of Christ where injustice, forgiveness, righteousness, and equity all come together at the cross of Christ. So that's one example. I think the other example is in the types of religious objections you find. Mormonism really hasn't hit the hood yet, you know? So what you're going to find, though, is Nation of Islam, Five Percenters, Moorish Science Temple, Black Hebrew Israelites. So my book was an attempt to be able to equip those who want to evangelize and do ministry in an inner city ethnic minority context with the ammunition they'll need, if you will, or the equipment they'll need in order to be successful in defending the Christian faith.
Okay. Now, something else I've noticed since moving to the city, I moved from Warren, Michigan to downtown Detroit, where actually the Nation of Islam was founded.
Yes.
In Detroit. And a lot of people don't know that, but so there's your little historical fact, everybody. Nation of Islam founded in Detroit. And I've also seen the Black Hebrew Israelites out on Woodward Avenue in downtown Detroit as well. So one of the things I've also noticed about being in the city is it's louder, it's busier, people don't have time. People very rarely get quiet in the city. Because I think when you get quiet, that's when the questions start to press in. And so we do everything to keep ourselves from having to deal with those questions. So in the So the idea of this urban apologetics thing, okay, apologetics in an urban context where people are purposefully keeping themselves busy so they don't have to deal with those realities. How would you approach something like that?
Well, you know, never forget, again, if apologetics is answering questions, no matter how busy, dense, active the urban setting is, people are still asking questions. We are asking the big questions: who am I? Mm-hmm. Is there a purpose and meaning to life? Why all the suffering? These are real questions, and in particular, in oppressed and depressed communities, the question of suffering and mm-hmm. pain, and is there a hope, a future hope? These are questions that high schoolers are asking, elementary kids are asking, men are asking, women are asking. So I think that what we have to do is see that those questions are the inroads, if you will, for the gospel. This is the on-ramp for us bringing the truth, the hope, that Christ brings, the redemption that Christ brings. So I think that what we want to do is enter into conversation, because what you can find in the city is conversation.
Okay.
You can always find somebody to dialogue with.
Okay. So before I interviewed you, I interviewed Alicia Wood. Mm-hmm. Alicia Wood. I think it's just Wood, not mm-hmm. Woods. Sorry, Alicia, if you're listening. But a question that came up in that conversation from me to her was, you know, what's it like being a woman in a, you know, all boys club
yes.
kind of deal, because most apologists are men. I wasn't aware of that or wasn't cognizant of it until I read Mary Jo Sharp's book,
right.
Defending the Faith, which is introducing apologetics into Christian into women's ministries.
Yeah.
And so, and then Christianity Today recently had an article where it was all these women apologists. But you are an African American male. I'm an African American male, and something I have noticed now, just because of your presence, yours is the first. A book on apologetics written by an African American that I'm aware of. You may not be the only one, but it's the first one I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So what's it like being an African American apologist in kind of a zone, in kind of a lane that is predominantly Caucasian?
Yeah, well, let me just say, first off, that most of the apologists that I've gotten a chance to know, and most of the national apologists that most Christians read, I've been able to develop great friendships with, and they've been tremendously supportive, from the Colson Center, Chuck Colson, Ravi Zacharias Ministries, William Lane Craig, Josh McDowell. These have been friends, Lee Strobel, that have encouraged me. So I'm very grateful. But what it requires is a skill of being bilingual.
Okay.
And I like to refer to C.S. Lewis for this, because C.S. Lewis lived in two worlds. He lived in the Anglican Church, and he lives in the Oxford-Cambridge world,
right?
It was kind of a high education and high religious environment where they spoke different languages. But what he was a bridge builder, and he was bilingual. He talked to the Anglican Church in Oxbridge language. He talks to the Oxbridge community in Anglican language, hoping that one day they would meet each other and be able to hear the texture and tone of their conversation and be able to relate to one another. Well, in the same way, I feel like I'm bilingual, and my responsibility is to develop in the heart of the urban Christian a passion for apologetics, and develop in the heart of the apologist a passion for the urban Christian. And so if I can get those two groups to think about one another, and that is happening, mm-hmm. then I've succeeded.
Okay. One last thing, and this is personal. All right. Yes. I don't even know if this will make the cut.
Okay.
It'll make the cut. Okay, so you have graduated from the Master of Arts program at Biola University
yes.
in Christian Apologetics. I told you last night when we were first talking, I just got accepted into that program.
Yeah.
So what would be your counsel to me as I am stepping into this program? It's a relatively new kind of program within Christian schools. I think Biola was the first one to do it, if I'm not mistaken. What would be your counsel to me stepping in, or to anybody else that's about to step into a degree in Christian apologetics? And the reason I ask is because I just saw an article that came out that said, do not get a degree in Christian apologetics.
Yeah, so you're going to have a lot of people who are going to have different opinions on this. But let me just say, I am a huge advocate that apologetics is an extension of the ministry of evangelism. And that one of the statistically worst testimonies of the church is that we are just terribly unevangelistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm an advocate that every church needs an apologist, and every apologist needs a local church. So bravo to you and to anyone on this listening to this podcast that will say, yes, I will dedicate my life to learning how to equip the church to give answers to the questions of culture. Because once we have Christians walking away from that enterprise, we fail. But here's what I think is the underlying concern why many are saying don't get a degree in Christian apologetics, is because often people try to learn how to defend what they did not first learn to appreciate and to know. So we first need to start with theology. Get a degree or get an understanding of theology so you can know what you're defending
right.
before you try to defend mm-hmm. it. So I would just simply say that Christians who are going into Christian apologetics, try to find either a degree in theology or a degree in one of the hard sciences to be able to marry, or one of the social sciences that you can marry with your Christian apologetics degree mm-hmm. so that you're actually bringing substance to the conversation and not just cute answers.
That's really interesting you said that, just because the last 4 weeks that Justin and I have, Justin's not able to be on this particular interview, but for the last 4 weeks, we decided, hey, if we're starting out this podcast and we're talking about how to defend the Christian faith and what Christians believe, we said maybe we should explain what it
That's
is Christians
right.
believe before we get out here and we're defending it. Yeah. And people are like, why are you, they have this view in their head of what Christianity is. And they're like, why are you defending that?
Yeah.
Why are you defending that thing? So I was like,
right.
here's what we really believe.
So this is the first step of Christian apologetics, is to be able to say, like every generation of Christians before us, these things we believe.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've settled on those things, now we can correct what often is misunderstandings about what we believe. The bulk of Christian apologetics is refuting misrepresentations and misunderstandings of our theology. Well, if you don't understand theology, then you won't be able to do that effectively. So I would just encourage you and every other Christian apologist or aspiring Christian apologist, Christian apologetics is a great thing, but start with a foundation in what you believe and knowing why you believe what you believe, and then, if possible, marry to it either some training in the hard sciences or in the social sciences.
Okay. Thank you, Christopher.
All right. Thanks,
Gary.
All right.
All right.